Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We've been looking at the life of Gideon the last week or so, and we've been studying about Gideon and his faith walk and his lack of faith walk, and there's so many ways that we parallel with Gideon. There's so many ways that our lives are similar to his, and so we can take many lessons, and I urge you, beloved, to read Judges 6, the whole chapter. I urge you to read Judges 7, the whole story of Gideon, because there's so many life lessons here that we could take from these two chapters. It would take many weeks on the broadcast to do that, and I'm not going to go into it to that depth. I'm not going to go into it and take that much time, but just understand there's great teaching there and an opportunity for you to learn if you'll delve into it. And so we see that back in the first part of Judges that the Midianites were coming against the children of Israel. The Midianites were harassing them, and it says in 6:1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. And so we see that God sometimes allows the devil into our life. Sometimes God allows the enemy into our life. It's not that he's a cruel God. It's not that he wants to see us suffer or wants to see us in torment or harassment. God doesn't take any pleasure in seeing his children in pain or torment. But God's primary purpose for you and for me is to come to know him and to serve him, and that our life bring glory and honor to him. And so that's God's primary purpose here on this earth for us. And so if you are going through an extreme lot of trials and tribulations, which we all do at times, sometimes there's times when things are going pretty good, other times there's seems like everything is falling apart, and we have all kinds of harassment, and seems like everywhere we turn, the devil is tormenting us. And so we know that God's will be done in all of it. For everything that happens to us is for the purpose of those. It is for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those who God calls his own and who are called according to his purpose. And so we need to give thanks to the Lord no matter what is happening in your life, no matter how bad you feel about the attacks. Just give thanks to the Lord and praise him in the valley, praise him on the mountaintop, praise him in between. And whatever it is that's happening in your life, God will eventually get the glory out of it, and he'll get the credit and the honor out of it. But the Israelite children were suffering. The Midianites were stealing their produce. They were stealing the harvest of their crops. And it seems like sometimes that's the way it is in our life. We sow, and we sow with good intentions. We have good motivation, good intentions. But when we sow, we don't harvest anything. It's the devil comes in and impoverishes us and steals from us. And I just want you again to be encouraged this day with this story. Be encouraged and know that everyone goes through these times in your life. And if I'm speaking to someone out there today and you're going through extreme hardship, maybe you've suffered in the physical realm, you're having body affliction, or your finances are not good, or your friends have betrayed you, or maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Well, God has something better for you. He has a blessing for you. And so you just keep thanking him. You just keep praising him. You keep looking to him, even in spite of your circumstances, and he will bless you, and he will bring that to pass which he has spoken over you. Faithful is he who called you, and he will bring it to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And so God is faithful. He doesn't give up on us. He never forsakes us or abandons us, and he will see it come to pass, that which he has spoken over you. Well, Gideon is hiding out from the Midianites. Verse 11 in chapter 6 says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, which his son Gideon threshed wheat. And while his son Gideon threshed wheat in a winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And so this is the first lesson I want you to see from this story of Gideon. Gideon was afraid of the enemy. He was hiding from the enemy. He was ducking down in the wine press trying to get the wheat thrashed. And I'm sure that was a slow go. It would have been much faster out there on the out there on the threshing floor, out there on the slab, made for that purpose. But he's there in this little confined area, the wine press, ducking down so the Midianites don't see him. And we get that way too sometimes when the devil is pursuing us and chasing us. We want to duck and we want to hide out, and we want to stay away from the fellowship. We want to stay away from accountability. We want to stay away from our prayer partners. And I just encourage you today, brothers and sisters, if you're under a lot of stress and a lot of duress and you feel like the whole world is against you, that's the time to press into God. That's the time to seek Him with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. That's the time to really pour in and spend more time in His Word and spend more time in prayer and spend more time in fellowship. There's been times in my life when I was so broken that I didn't feel like I could stand, and sometimes I went the other direction from God. I ran from God, even though He was there reaching out to me. And then other times, He was still there reaching out to me, and so I pressed in, and I went towards Him. When I started preaching in the prison back in 2001, I was very wounded from a breakup of my family, and yet I pressed in. I said, "Lord, if You'll give me the breath and the strength to stand, I'm going to preach for You, Lord, even in the wounded state that I'm in. Even in the brokenness that I feel, I'm going to stand and I'm going to preach to those who are more broken than I. I'm going to stand and preach to those who are more wounded than I am." And so God gave me the strength. He healed me as I went, and He showed favor to me. And as the doors opened up, first in the prison and then into international ministry, God just continued to heal me. He continued to pour out His blessing on me. And so that is what the Lord says here to Gideon in verse 12. "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.'" And so God wasn't speaking to that little meek man in his circumstances. He wasn't speaking to that little man who felt defeated and wanted to run from the enemy and hide from the enemy. He was speaking to that inner man that the Lord knew would carry the banner of the Lord into battle. And he knew that this man Gideon would rise up to be a mighty man of valor. And so he was speaking to that man in the future. God does that. He wants to bring out of us our very best. He wants to bring out of us our highest calling. He wants to bring out of us that God man, inner man in our spirit, that He has spoken over you even before you were born. He spoke over you what He declared for you to be. "I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. "And it's plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans with a hope and a future." And so I just thank You, Lord, for raising me up at times when I felt very weak and very defeated and unable to cope. And I thank You for raising me up. And so God wants to do that for you too. He will speak to your highest calling. He will speak to your God man. He wants to draw out of you that highest calling that will take you into your destiny and where your life can amount to the most or count the most for the kingdom of God. Well, after the Lord spoke to Gideon, Gideon expresses his weakness. He says, "God, where are You? You did the miracles for our forefathers in Egypt, but we don't see anything of You now. We're defeated, we're harassed, we're tormented." And so God spoke to him, and He said in verse 14 that, "Gideon, You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent You?" And Gideon then went, as we spoke last week, and he went and he gave an offering to the Lord. Verse 18, he told the Lord, "Don't depart from here, I pray, until I come to You and bring out My offering and set it before You." And the Lord said, "I will wait until You come back." And so many times when we come to a fork in the road, and many times when we come to crossroads in our life and we're asking the Lord, "Lord, where are You?" And the Lord says, "I'm right here. I want You to serve me. I want to draw You closer to me." If we will just make an offering to the Lord, if we will submit to Him, give some kind of offering. Maybe you can't give enough to build an orphanage. Maybe you can't give enough to what you think is significant. But if you'll give something, just give something so it's a sacrificial offering to the Lord. That is what pleases the Lord. He sees your heart. He sees your offering. And as you give your offering, as you lay it out there before the Lord, then the Lord says, "Ah, I see your obedience. I see your desire to serve me. I see your desire to come alongside and be obedient to me, and God will bless you in that way as he does that. Well, Gideon made the offering. The Lord consumed it with fire to show him that he was there, to show him he was standing right there beside him. And then in verse 25, the Lord lays out a command or a charge for Gideon, and this is the start then of Gideon's battle that he carries out for the Lord. And so the Lord asks Gideon to go tear down the altar of Baal in his father's house, in Gideon's father's house. And of course, this was a big project, a very significant thing for Gideon, because to come against Baal in his father's house, not only was he coming against his father, but he was coming against this idol of Baal, who had swept through and become an idolatrous figure amongst the children of Israel. And so God said, go tear down that altar. And he said, cut down that altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. Well, God doesn't give us simple things to do. He doesn't give us challenges that we can accomplish in our own human ability, our own human attributes. And so we can take this lesson from the story of Gideon, that God will always call you to do something that is beyond your human ability. He will call you to do something that is above your understanding. It is above your human attributes and your human talents and abilities. If he did not do that, then we would never have to trust God. We would never have to lean on him. And so God always calls us to a place where we have to lean on God, where we have to press in and trust him more. And we give up our own will, we deny ourselves, pick up our cross and carry it daily. And as God calls you to do that, then you learn to know that God is real. You learn to know that God is real in your life, and you can say, yes, I know God is with me. Yes, I know Jesus is with me and the Holy Spirit is in me. I know that when I face death, I'm not going to have anything to fear, because God is with me, that he promises he will never forsake me or abandon me, Deuteronomy 31:6. And God is faithful and true to his promise, and God will always lead you to a place where you have to trust him more and you have to lean on him more. Well, Gideon took 10 men. They took down the Baal, the altar of Baal in his father's house. And from that, Gideon received the name Jerubbaal, which means let him contend with Baal. And so that's the nickname they gave to Gideon, because he was a contender with Baal. And so Gideon then went on to challenge the Lord, or ask the Lord, you might say, display his unbelief to the Lord. Two more times he said, Lord, show me a fleece. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. And the Lord had already consumed his offering on the rock with fire. And yet Gideon wanted another sign. He wanted another sign from the Lord. And so he put a fleece out and he said, Lord, have the dew be on the fleece and the dry on the ground. And then the Lord did that. He had the dew on the fleece where the fleece was wringing wet and the ground was dry. And then that still didn't satisfy Gideon. And so in chapter 6, Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and on the ground let there be dew. And so God did that as well. It was dry on the fleece, and there was dew on the ground. And so Gideon had plenty of confirmation. He had plenty of signs from the Lord to move forward. He was confident now. And it's okay to put out a sign. It's okay to ask the Lord for a sign. It's okay to put out a fleece. God is all right with that. He's not going to chastise you for it. Maybe you don't need to do that every single time you ask the Lord to do something, or you get ready to do something for the Lord. But it's okay if God's got something monumental out there for you to do, and you're in a position of fear, you're in a position of wondering and anxiety. It's okay to ask the Lord to show you a sign and to ask the Lord to do something with your fleece. Just lay it out there and then trust the Lord that he will answer your prayer. Well, we go on into chapter 7, and this is where it gets very interesting. Gideon had an army of 30,000. God says, no, that's way too many. That's way too many. The Lord says to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. And so God didn't want that many in the battle for the Israelites. He didn't want that many because the tendency would be for those people to claim that their hand was the reason that they received the victory. And so God, many times in our life, he wants to strip us down so we can't take any of the glory. He wants to strip us of our own personal pride and our own attributes, our own talents, and he doesn't want us to take the glory. He wants to get all the glory for whatever happens in our life. He wants to get all the glory for the battle, for the victories in the battle that he takes us into. And so as you give God the glory, as you give him the praise, then God is in a place where he knows that your heart is right and that you can trust the Lord in every future battle that he takes you into. Well, God said to Gideon, send the ones who are afraid, send them home, and 22,000 left, and only 10,000 remained. And then God says, take them down to the river and watch how they drink. And those that lap the water like a dog, that take the water up out of the river and then lap it like a dog, those are the ones I want you to keep. And so out of that 10,000, only 300 lapped like a dog. The rest, the other 9,700, got down on their knees and drank from the river. And God says, send those guys home, and I'm only going to leave you with 300 men. And these 300 are going into battle against the Midianites. Well, of these 300, Gideon was instructed to divide them into three companies and give each person a trumpet and a torch and an empty pitcher. And there's many interpretations of what these symbolize, but to me these symbolize three aspects of God that they were carrying into battle, three weapons of warfare that they were carrying into battle. The trumpet, of course, reminds us of the second coming of Jesus. It reminds us of judgment. When the trump shall sound, then Jesus is going to come back, it tells us. And so the Israelites have a feast of trumpets that is a reminder that when Jesus comes back, the whole earth is going to be judged, and he is coming back to take his seat here on this earth in the millennial reign. And when the last trump shall sound, it tells us, then Jesus will come, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The torch reminds us of the consuming nature of God, and it is like a fire. God's fire consumes in us. It wants to consume every cell in our body, every part of our being, every molecule in us. It wants to consume us and take over. And so as you let God's consuming fire consume you, it burns out everything that is not of you. It burns out all that does not bring glory and honor to God. And so the Lord is a consuming fire, Deuteronomy 4:24, for our God is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. And so as God's consuming fire burns in you, it burns up a desire and a passion in you to serve him and to bring glory and honor to him with your life. And then thirdly, we have the pitcher, the empty pitcher, which represents to me the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out on your life until the pitcher is empty of the Spirit of God, and you empty yourself and you take in that Holy Spirit into you, and you become then a full vessel or a living vessel, a vessel of honor, brings glory and honor to the Lord with your life. And so we empty ourselves just as that pitcher was, and put the fire of the living God in our pitcher. Well, in verse 20, it tells us what happened. Verse 19, Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every Midianite stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia and to Zererah. So the victory was complete. The children of Israel pursued him and struck him down with the sword. The children of Israel were victorious. They didn't need a huge army. They didn't need a lot of weapons, sophisticated weapons. They just blew trumpets. They broke the pitchers, and they shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And the sword of the Lord is a mighty sword. It's a mighty sword in battle. And God wants you to know that when He declares over you victory, when He says, "If you do it my way, you will be victorious," that that is His intention, that He is faithful and true, and not only to lead you into battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord, and He will give you victory. He will give you even more than you can think or imagine, exceedingly abundantly beyond anything that you can think or imagine. He will bless you with the peace that passes all understanding. He'll bless you with good health. He'll help you with wisdom to get your finances together. The Lord wants you to walk with Him in battle, and He will bless you, and He will keep you away from the enemy. Well, it's all about serving Jesus, just as Gideon served the Lord, just as Gideon was obedient, and he stepped out in faith. He got over his fear, and he let the Lord do the battle for him. He let the Lord go forward and go ahead of him into battle, and God wants to do that. He wants to go ahead of you into battle and lead you to a place of victory, and God wants you to know that He is there with you step by step, every step of the way. Well, it all starts with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus who died for you on the cross, who shed His precious blood for you, for your sins, that you could know Him for all eternity, that you could come to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, which He is very grateful and willing to do, and He shed His precious blood that your sins would not keep you away from Him, and that you could reside with Him for all eternity. I plead with you to turn to Jesus today, to turn your life over to Him, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you, and follow it up with immersion baptism, and as the Lord touches you, as the Lord comes into your heart, fills you up with that fire, the Lord will fill you up, that empty pitcher, He'll fill you up with the Spirit of the living God. Well, I thank you for listening today. I hope you have a great week next week, and God bless you. Tune in again next week.